sounds good. Forget, I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Thursday, August 30th, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. We've got a great show for you today. John Hankey will be up with me in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about JFK, JFK 2. We're going to actually do a week series on this between the 10th and the 14th of September, but I wanted to have him up today to talk a little bit about it and tell us a little bit about himself and how it all ties in with what's going on today, because people that think it happened, 30, 40 years ago, it doesn't make any difference. It does. It makes a big difference, folks. So a couple of quick announcements, and then I'm going to bring up John Hankey. In the meantime, for those of you who have been into my website, www.theamericanawakening.org, I want to give you a quick update. My wife, Lindsay, was down at the immigration office today dancing on the immigration officer's desk. I've got an update coming on that. I won't know until later on this afternoon, but it will be posted, so keep watching. Also, I want to point out that upcoming guests, tomorrow I've got Don Nikoloff first hour, Larry Smith second hour, and then you can go into my website again and look online or just click guests on my show for the upcoming guests for the next couple of weeks. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to mention to you, I ran across an article today that was very interesting, and I want you all to go in. I've got it posted in my interesting links on my website. It's about Ron Paul. So you want to go in there and take a look. It's a book about Ron Paul. I think it's a great idea. I want to try to get this author up on my show. So go into my website, www.theamericanawakening.org, and read the article. It is the Daily Paul's Ron Paul Book Project. Read the article. It's by Michael Nystrom, and I have posted it up on my website. I have contacted Mr. Nystrom, sent him an email. I want to try to get him up and get him on my show to talk about this, because I think it's a fantastic idea for all of us in the Patriot community to write a little bit about Ron Paul, and they're going to publish a book, and we can put all of our thoughts in there about different things, what political, economic, social, or moral issues are most important to you today, what you see as the biggest danger facing our country, and we can all contribute to the publication of this book. We can put it out. I can promote it. I can get other talk show hosts on RBN to promote it and other networks as well. I think it's a fantastic idea. We can get this out, and I think it will add to the momentum that Ron Paul has going, which is fantastic right now. I ran across a website yesterday where they were, again, downplaying the percentage of Ron Paul supporters, and then they asked me to go in and cast a vote. And when I did so, the vote that I cast, they came up with the results of that, and it was so far and away. Ron Paul had blown everybody away by so far. He had said like something like 72 or 71% of the entire vote, and everybody else was down at like 1 or 2. So I don't know where they get these numbers from, folks, but every little bit helps. So go into the website, take a look at this. We will see if we can publish a book real quick, get it out, get it moving, and gain some more support for Ron Paul. So, again, back to my guest today, John Hankey. Now, John Hankey, a lot of you may know, has put out videos. One is the JFK assassination. Another one is JFK Jr. assassination. I've seen both these videos more than once, and he's got a lot of very, very interesting and incriminating evidence, and I thought that it would be a good idea to bring him up, let him tell us about how it connects today, or how it connects in our world today,
the ideology,
and also bring him up and let him do a whole series week after next regarding how this ties in and what we need to look for and things we can do about it. So with that, let's see. I believe, what else have I got as far as announcement? Give me a second here. That's about it. Okay, we're going to go to a break. I'll be back in three. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stick with me. I will be back with my guest, John Hanke.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
American people, the only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I want to ask you, because I've asked myself more than once, and sometimes people ask me, you know, what does JFK's murder matter anymore? It happened 30 or 40 years ago. It's in the past. Really doesn't make a lot of difference. And I happened to be watching a comedy video with Bill Hicks last night, and he happened to bring up the same question. And he told his audience what his response was, is people say, well, it happened 30 or 40 years ago, and don't bring it up anymore. And he said, okay, well, I'll do that if you do this. Jesus Christ was executed 2,000 years ago. So it's more than 30 or 40 years ago. Don't bring it up anymore. And I thought that was kind of funny. But the point is that the JFK murder does matter. So does the JFK Jr. murder matter. This next guest that I'm bringing up has produced a number of very educational and quite incriminating videos, one on JFK, one on JFK Jr. He's got another video out. It's a 9/11 video, which is kind of short to the point, and it's something that you can buy and pass out to your friends that is not going to make them sit for an hour and a half to 2 hours and get bored. It's going to put across bullet points real quick and help to open their mind, similar to freedom to fascism. So I'm not going to rant on anymore. Without any further ado, let me bring up my guest, John Hanke. John, are you with me?
Hey, I'm here.
How are you today, sir?
I'm great, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Listen, for the sake of my listening audience that doesn't know who you are, John, tell us, how did you get started in all of this, of producing these videos and so forth?
Well, I was going to give you a long answer to that question, but...
Okay. No, that's okay. I'll just give you the floor and let you run with it. Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
Well, you know what, and I'm thinking that I want to answer a different question anyhow.
That's fine.
Which is, why should we care about any of this stuff? I mean, it doesn't matter who I am, right? I mean, I could be, the best guy on the face of the earth, but if I'm talking about something that's not important, people shouldn't pay very much attention. So I'd like to start off talking about why the assassination of John Kennedy is important. And I think there's a number of reasons, and I'd be interested to hear what you or any of your listeners have to say on the subject. But the first point that I'd like to make is that it's not important. 9/11 is what's important, and that's the issue that's going to change the world. That's the issue that people not have to not let themselves get tired of, not let themselves be persuaded that this thing is going away or that, it's over or anything else like that. And a really good example of that is that this guy Bugliosi, Vincent Bugliosi, was a former prosecutor in the city of Los Angeles, and he's come out with a 1,600-page book on the Kennedy assassination, which is getting all this ink and all this play, and he's on all these interview programs, and they're talking him up. And before that, 10 years before that, this guy Posner came out with Case Closed. They're not letting the Kennedy assassination issue die because they understand that it's important. They're not going to let the 9/11 issue die. They will continue to bring it up and rub the issue of terrorism in our faces and try to make hay out of it. So it's, I think, desperately important to not let ourselves get distracted. But when 9/11 first happened, I was busily making these videos on the Kennedy assassination. We'll talk about the how and the why I got into that. But, this is what I was involved in. And 9/11 happened, and I set all of that aside for 2 years and said, no. Nobody is saying anything, right? I was teaching high school in East Los Angeles, teaching history and English. And I'm running around to my colleagues, and I was getting nowhere. In fact, I managed to make the chairman of the history department furious at me because I walked into his classroom, and we were good friends, and he said, "Oh, what is it?" And I said, "Well, I'd like to talk." And he said, "No, tell the whole class." So then I told the whole class. I showed them the four frames that had been released about the plane crashing into the Pentagon, and there's no plane there. And yeah. And I said, the L.A. Times says that this camera was running at 5,000 frames a second. 5,000 frames a second, a 280-foot plane going 600 miles an hour, there should be 90 frames showing the plane, and there are none, right? Rather than, instead of 90, there's none. And he came up to me later. He sought me out and just, "Ron, don't ever come into my classroom again." We had been good friends. So... here I decided that 9/11 was the issue, that people had to get woke up about it. And as time went by, I saw other people coming out with things, and better and better and better. And there are certainly some very, very terrific 9/11 videos out there. But when I saw that happening, I said, okay, other people are handling that. Should I get on that bandwagon that now is growing and there seem to be some capable people on it? And the conclusion that I came to is that, and through my experience, and people who have done this will have had the same experience, that when you raise this issue of 9/11, people are incapable of believing it. The biggest obstacle is the one that Hitler talked about, which is the big lie. If the crime that you commit is sufficiently huge that people can't believe it, well, then you're safe. Right. If you can manage, if that's part of your, and it was that the people who perpetrated 9/11, part of their approach was to calculate to commit a crime that was so unbelievably outrageous and audacious that nobody would be able to believe that this could possibly be true. However, 85%, the statistics vary between 75% and 85% of the American people. Walter Cronkite says 80% of the American people didn't believe that the Warren Commission, didn't believe the government story that a lone assassin had killed John Kennedy. So it seemed to me that that was a toehold. That was a piece of area that you could get and make yourself a place to stand inside people's minds and say, well, look, you already understand that the government lied about that, but let's expand that a little bit. Starting on the point that you know that the government is lying, let's look at the facts and see what really happened with the Kennedy assassination so that you can get your mind prepared. When you see how outrageous, just absolutely outrageous the facts are in the Kennedy assassination, then perhaps you can come to understand, you can believe that the same people would have done a similar thing. Anyway, I think that that's the main reason that this issue was important, is because it really helps to build people's ability to get their minds around what happened on 9/11. In addition to which, the parallels between the Kennedy assassination and the 9/11 assassination are just astonishing and also very, very useful. And we'll talk about that later. The other thing, point I think, however, is that I think we owe it to John Kennedy. I think that everybody who's sitting in your audience today and everybody who's sitting in the United States of America owes their lives to John Kennedy. I don't think most people are aware of the extent to which that's true. But let me tell you, I mean, that's what I'm here for, is to tell people things that they don't know about. And this is, you know, very, very mainstream stuff. Robert McNamara, who was Kennedy's Secretary of Defense, has begun talking about some of the issues of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I think that it's very likely that McNamara was complicit in the assassination. But in fact, there are people who were interviewing him about, because he's anxious to talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis, and they brought up the Kennedy assassination. In interview after interview, he just shuts them down. No, he won't talk about that. Well, anyhow, it doesn't matter. The point is that, if people aren't familiar, the CIA was flying U-2 airplanes over the island of Cuba, and one day they spotted that in the photographs, missile silos were being constructed, and they took more photographs, and it was very, very clear that the Cubans had engaged with the help of the Russians on this program of installing missiles in Cuba, and nobody knew whether they were nuclear or otherwise, but certainly if the Russians were helping them, they could easily have hit Washington in 20 minutes. And, you know, it doesn't really matter if you have the kind of accuracy that the Russians did at that point, and you put a standard missile into the White House, you're going to kill everybody in the general vicinity and even in bunkers deep. So that this was really... it scared the hell out of the politicians, and so they, of course, took it very, very seriously. And the military people, and this is all very well laid out, both by the Kennedys and by any number of people who were there. I think virtually all of Kennedy's advisors have written stories that tell this fact, that the military sat down at the table and said, let's nuke them. Let's invade Cuba. If we don't nuke them, let's at the very least invade Cuba and take the place over, and the first thing we'll do is we will bomb their missiles, and then we'll follow with a full-scale invasion. And Kennedy said, yeah, and what do you think the Russian response is going to be to that? And Kennedy predicted that we would end up in a situation that would rapidly escalate to a full-scale nuclear exchange, which would kill a minimum. The Pentagon estimates were that it would kill 40 million people, and they were satisfied with that. They thought, that's fine. And they said, come on, they said to Kennedy, let's evacuate the bunkers and then let's go ahead and do this thing. But, you know, we will supervise it from bunkers under, you know, mountains, Strategic Air Command locations that are thoroughly protected from, they would go a mile deep, but they'd start going a mile deep under a mountain so that it was impregnable from nuclear weapons. They couldn't get at them. And then we will supervise the situation from there. And Kennedy said, no. We're going to stay right here. And if this thing goes to hell, you're going to be the first people to die.
Interrupt you for just a second, John. We'll hold that thought. We've got to take a break, okay? We'll be back in three. We'll let you continue with this. And what's scary is the generals of today seem to have the same mindset as they did back then. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog with my special guest, John Hanke. Stick with us. We got more, and it gets better.
Thank you. Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Michael Herzog, American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special and very knowledgeable guest, John Hankey. And I want to remind people now, this brilliant researcher has uncovered an enormous amount of evidence on JFK, JFK 2, the Bush connection, and so forth. And I'm going to have him up the weekend of the 10th through the 14th every day. You can go into www.theamericanawakening.org, click on guests, and you can look at the subject content by day throughout that week. Now, this is a short segment, so we're getting back to the generals wanted to nuke him, and John Kennedy said no. So take it from there, John.
So, John Kennedy said no, and it's generally believed that that's one of the reasons that the military went along with assassinating him, was because from that incident they decided that he was a chicken and that he was at least soft on communism if he wasn't pink. In any case, 40 years later, Robert McNamara, all of the participants from Russia and from the United States who were involved in the October missile crisis got together, I forget, I think it was in Florida, but it doesn't matter, and the Russians told McNamara that they had nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons, that they were operational, that the missiles were all operational, and that they were authorized to use them to defend themselves from an American attack. And McNamara says he practically fell out of the chair. The generals had been promising them that, oh, none of the missiles are operational, and certainly there aren't any nuclear missiles there, and blah, blah, blah. And they were completely 100% wrong. But, I mean, what's clear is that if Kennedy had listened to these guys and had gone ahead with it, that it would, the situation would have immediately escalated into a nuclear exchange and then a full-scale nuclear exchange. And if you take the estimate of 40 million dead that the military came up with as acceptable and fit that into your equation, you can rapidly see that it would be much closer to 100 million, or I think that the population of the U.S. was 150 million at the time.
That would be my guess. But so you're telling me now that back when I was in the whatever it was sixth grade and they were shouting duck and cover and I was under the desk saying what am I doing this for? We were sitting on the precipice. I mean, it was like right over the cliff practically where we could have really had a nuclear disaster. And the reason that we didn't is because John Kennedy just took a firm stand and said no.
And
right.
And in doing so, gave his life. Right, in doing so, made enemies of the people who killed him. So that, I mean, and he understood that. I mean, if there's a new book, by the way, let's plug my website, right? Bush Killed JFK.
Absolutely. I've got it up on mine, by the way.
Okay,
right
very
under
good.
Your name.
And
okay.
You know, people can watch this video for free. I want them to watch it for free, but I want them to buy it to show it to their friends. I want them to buy it and go to the guy next door who is, you know, recalcitrant, who's hard-headed and who's not going to go anywhere and say, well, wait a minute. Because and one of my favorite things to do is to show this, to show the JFK, right? You can't even open up the subject of 9/11. You show them the JFK video and the most hardcore Bush supporter at my school watched JFK 2 and said, geez, well, that doesn't mean the son's evil. And that's true, right? I mean, the fact that the father is shut my mouth guilty of killing John Kennedy Sr. Doesn't mean that the son is evil, but it does. I mean, it opens the window to say, well, maybe the son is. And maybe the son is. The father certainly was. So perhaps we should be willing to at least investigate that other information. But, yes, we owe him our lives, and I think it's really... if for no other reason, out of respect for the sacrifice that he made. Well, I was going to say that that this guy, David Talbot, has written a book called Brothers. It came out about a month ago. And he went around and interviewed everybody that Robert Kennedy knew. And one of the things that comes out of that story is that Kennedy sent two different emissaries to the Russians, and both of them told the Russians, look, President Kennedy is worried about the fact that they're going to kill him for negotiating his way out of the Cuban Missile Crisis. He thinks that the military is going to kill him. You have to be more forthcoming in your negotiations, right? You can't stonewall him. You have to give something back in order to quiet the people who are loading their guns at the moment. So that Kennedy was very, very much aware of the threat that he was encountering. One of the things that I read in this Talbot book that I guess I knew it, but I didn't know it, right? It never struck me. While Kennedy was president, they made 7 days in May, Hollywood did, with Kennedy's encouragement, which is about the military overthrowing the government. They made Failsafe, which is about nuclear war breaking out by accident because of some accident in the military procedures. They also made the movie Dr. Strangelove, which is about one of the military officers, and he's modeled on, the name escapes me, the guy who was in charge of the Strategic Air Command, who was just a maniac. In the movie, a similar maniac decides, well, we got to hit the Ruskies now. It's better if we hit them now than if we hit them later because they're just building up their defenses. And that was essentially the thinking that's explained in this book, right? I mean, they quote the guy. His thinking was that nuclear war with the Soviet Union is inevitable. The Soviets only have about 1,000 nuclear warheads now. We have 10,000. We should hit them now because in the future they'll be able to match our 10,000. And that was his thinking, and the point is the Kennedys were aware of the fact that we were on the precipice. They were aware of the fact that the military was bloodthirsty and after him, and he went ahead and did this stuff anyway. And I mean, he could have got himself to a bunker, but he didn't.
Okay,
he
let me stop you. We got to go to a break. Okay, we'll be back in three. Stick with me, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special and knowledgeable guest, John Hanke. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And before I go back to my guest, I wanted to mention, folks, as you know, I bark at you every day about watching Freedom to Fascism, sharing it with your friends, neighbors, and relatives, getting a copy of it, as which you were able to do for so long from Bobby. And it's the same thing with this. The dumbed-down, mind-numbed American public needs to know. They need to know what happened. It's just another tool to expand their mind to realize who we've got running this administration, who we've got in the military-industrial complex, and their mindset. And with that, let me go back to my guest. John, you were mentioning that Kennedy could have very easily went into the bunker, but he didn't. So go ahead.
Right. The head of the Strategic Air Command is Curtis LeMay. It took me a minute to bring that back. But, I mean, just if you read the quotes, I mean, Google Curtis LeMay, the quotes from this guy, he was a maniac. And in the book Brothers, Kennedy calls him in and says, you know, so what's your approach? And his approach is nuclear war sooner than later is the best way to go. But, yeah, like I said, Kennedy gave his life for ours, and I think that's another reason, although certainly not the best one. In any case, I wanted to roll on another reason for looking at the Kennedy assassination and learning about it and telling people about it is that it's still happening. You saw Paul Wellstone, which when we talk about JFK Jr., Wellstone and Jr. and John Kennedy Jr. were killed in exactly the the same manner. They're trying to pass the Patriot Act. The Democrats are showing they might have a little bit of backbone, and they send anthrax to Gephardt, and whoosh, all of the opposition vanishes. And, you know, these guys were running for office. They didn't run to put their lives on the line. They, you know, ran to do what they could. And I think we need to elect people to Congress who recognize that they're liable to die for their principles in taking this on. But, I mean, you know, we send all these guys off to Iraq, and they take on that risk and responsibility when they go. I think that we should, you know, and maybe we should be electing some Iraqi veterans to Congress. But those guys weren't, you know, they didn't sign up for that job, and they weren't willing to take it. And every person who ever enters the White House and sits down at the desk knows what happened to John Kennedy and knows that they'll be taken out. So that, I mean, the impact of the Kennedy assassination on every single president, I think, is very real and very immediate and a very daily event. And finally, I think that a close study of the Kennedy assassination gives you a key to understanding the events of today. That the Kennedy assassination is like a Rosetta Stone, and, you know, 10,000 people have been, 10,000 dedicated people have been studying it for 40 years, and so there's quite a little bit known about it, although there's a lot known about 9/11 now. I mean, I could have said this, and I did say 5 and 6 years ago, that if people wanted to understand 9/11, they should study the Kennedy assassination. Well, 9/11 is very, very well understood, but I got one for you. Who is the mastermind behind 9/11? And I think that the Kennedy assassination helps us recognize that. That is to say, that.
Are you asking me, John, based on my research, or are you asking me just based on the you know, the evidence that's out there?
Well, I'm saying put this into, just ask yourself the question for a moment. Consider the question, because nobody knows, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody knows the answer to that completely. But here's a parallel for you that I find useful, which is that after Kennedy was murdered and after Oswald was murdered, right, 80% at least of the American people said, man, this stinks. This is a conspiracy. And Johnson responded to that by setting up the Warren Commission. It didn't take him 4 months or 6 months, whatever it was that it took Bush. It took him about a week. But the week after Oswald was murdered, Johnson was well on his way to establishing the Warren Commission in order to settle this dust down. And they appointed the head of the Warren Commission, literally, the guy who ran it, the guy who was in charge, the only investigator that they appointed to the Warren Commission with any investigative background, was Alan Dulles. Well, Alan Dulles had been the head of the CIA until Kennedy fired him, and everybody with any sort of insight at all assumed that Alan Dulles was probably the mastermind behind the Kennedy assassination, and it, you know, the evidence today shows very clearly that that's very likely the case, that he was the mastermind of the Kennedy assassination. Well, when they set up a 9/11 commission, who was it that they wanted to put in charge?
Henry Kissinger.
And Henry Kissinger, who on September 11th, 1972, organized a coup in Chile where they murdered. Chile was a 100-year-old democracy. It might have been 200 years old. It was no little banana republic. And they arranged for the planes to fly over and bomb the presidential palace and for the soldiers to run in and machine gun this guy in his palace. It was a very, very similar operation anyway. And it's clearly understood that Kissinger was the mastermind of the Chilean coup, and it's also, you know, and he did it on September 11th. Well, in addition to which, he's been, well, and never mind. Let me just let it go, and we'll move on. But
excuse me, but let me insert one thing.
Sure,
is it not true? I mean, because I run across this. You know, I'm a junkie. I go peruse the internet for all kinds of articles and so forth. And I admit I don't have a photographic memory, and I don't remember every item and every line. But I have run across these specifics at one point in time where it says that Henry Kissinger, if he ever set foot in certain countries, they'd arrest him on the spot.
Well, that's right. If he goes to Spain or France or anybody who's got an extradition treaty with Spain, if he goes there, he's going to be arrested and tried for the coup in Chile.
Ah, okay. Is he a resident of the United States? Does he live here? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm quite certain.
All right, go ahead and continue.
No problem. Yeah, no, I mean, he's a world-recognized war criminal. I think he's a good candidate for who was the mastermind behind September 11th. In any case, one of the things that in September 11th, one of the arguments that gets made, they made it in that History Channel program on conspiracies, is, oh, you know, this was a massive conspiracy. Somebody would have talked. And when you look at the Kennedy assassination, well, you do find that, in fact, people did talk and were murdered for it, but what's also essentially true is that the perpetrators have a band of killers, of operatives, of black ops specialists, and these same people were involved in terrorist raids against Cuba. The same people were involved, no doubt, in putting bombs on Gary Power's plane. The same people, so they have an army of people who, right, bombed Oklahoma City, who bombed the coal, who carry out one action after the next, so that they haven't, they don't have to go out and advertise in the paper to find people who are trustworthy, who can be relied upon to keep their mouths shut. They have a group of people who have proven themselves over the course of time in a series of operations. And that's what they did with the Kennedy assassination. They used their anti-Castro Cubans. They used the mafia, which they had been using from time immemorial, I suppose, for a number of different operations, taking over the unions in New York City and whatnot. So, and I'm ready then, unless you want to add something, to entertain the question of how was it that I got started on all of this stuff.
Well, yeah, we'll go there in just a minute. But I know that, I mean, not only do they have these people that are lined up, obviously they put them through intense training, but they have MKUltra, Montauk projects, they have patsies, they have they have a whole line of anybody that they can call on at any time. I mean, it's a complete black army, if you will. And it seems as you weave this tapestry together throughout the years, you know, and I'm talking about Kennedy 1, JFK 2, you talk about the USS Cole, talk about several different assassinations, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, John, but, you know, relating back to the first Kennedy assassination, there was many, I think it was over, what was it, 188, I think, people that came forward to talk, a lot of police officers, professional people, and they were all killed.
I don't know that they were all killed, but it's an astonishing number. There was a police officer, just an amazing fellow, who was he was off duty. But he heard the shots, and he ran out into the middle of Dealey Plaza, and he ran up to the grassy knoll. He saw Oswald, who had walked to the grassy knoll. He saw Oswald leaving the grassy knoll, and then he ran into the school book depository, and he ran up to the sixth floor. And, you know, there's no contest about this. This is all official record, right? I mean, he did all of these things in the company with other police officers who were witnesses to it, but he was one of the two police officers who ran to the sixth floor school book depository, and he found the rifle that was recovered. However, the rifle that he found was, and he says, you know, that being a police officer, he's very familiar with firearms, but he says you didn't have to be familiar with firearms. All you had to do was look at the gun, because it said, stamped on the barrel, Mauser. It was not a Mannlicher Carcano, it was a Mauser, and he was subject to several assassination attempts until they finally got him.
Is that the guy that ultimately he was? They tried to assassinate him three or four times, and ultimately wound up committing suicide, or at least that is what I heard. I watched a video. Oh, who was it that narrated? I think it was James Earl Jones narrated it, and it was, you know, it had a lot of the same evidence that you had. They went off in a little bit different direction than you do, and frankly, from the research that I've done, I have a tendency to go your way rather than their way. They were talking about, you know, this covert operation called S-Force. I don't know whether you've ever seen that video or not, but they also said that Nixon had little to do with it, and you know, their theory is that Nixon and Connolly and Bush and E. Howard Hunt all showed up at the White House strictly by accident, which, you know, that's a crock of BS. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. You want to get off this? We'll get off this and step forward.
Well, you know, there's been some astonishingly good work done, and we're going to talk about a lot of it over the next several days. But nobody that I know of, with one exception, has said, in spite of the overwhelming evidence, that Bush did it. There's my favorite book on the subject, and I'll talk about it in a minute anyhow, is called Plausible Denial. It was written by Mark Lane, who really broke the story of the Kennedy assassination wide open. He was the first guy. He wrote the first book. He stood it up in public and raised a lot of hell about the Warren Commission report, and he tried to get assigned to be a researcher for the Warren Commission, and on and on and on. And he wrote this book, Plausible Denial, which we'll go into, where he points the finger at E. Howard Hunt, and he just amasses an enormous amount of evidence. But he also, in that book, publishes the memo that was written by J. Edgar Hoover 5 days after the assassination, naming George Bush as the supervisor of the misguided anti-Castro Cubans. And he says it, he puts it in there, but he doesn't make any comment about it. He doesn't even say why it is that he decided to include that in his book. And, you know, I guess that it's obvious why a person would do that, that, you know, he likes breathing. And he feels that it would jeopardize him to say things in plain terms. But I got to tell you that when I read his book, it was not the earth-shaking eye-opener for me that, oh, you know, Bush was behind the assassination. I didn't have that experience until I started doing my own research and trying to put together the case and discovering, geez, there's all of this evidence tying George Bush to the assassination and indicating that George Bush was certainly a frontline supervisor of the assassination. But the place that I wanted to go, I thought we'd talk about how it was that I got started on this.
Well, I was just going to say that's the bridge from what you just spoke to getting into how you did get started on this, and I'm real curious to hear about that. Go ahead.
I think that we're similar in age. I'm 55, and I was in the sixth grade when Kennedy was murdered. And, you know, I was a straight-A student. I was a very devoutly religious Catholic. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. I was going to become a priest, and on and on and on. And then one day, a friend of mine got a copy, an illegal copy of the Zapruder film. The Zapruder film, Abraham Zapruder was standing in Dealey Plaza. He wasn't supposed to be there. The police were trying to exclude all of the witnesses from the place that the killing was going to take place. But they did a typically incompetent job. That is to say that the Bushes have done such an outstanding incompetent job on everything that they've attempted in keeping the lid, including keeping the lid on 9/11 as being an inside job. But anyway, Abraham Zapruder not only is there, but he's there with an 8mm movie camera. He is positioned in exactly the best place to get the best shot of the fatal shot to Kennedy's head. And so, of course, the FBI seized that film, and they locked it up, and they weren't going to let anybody look at it, at least for 25 years. And well, all right. And but then Jim Garrison, the New Orleans district attorney, brought his case. And, you know, I don't know to what extent people are familiar with Garrison's case. Garrison has written a couple of books, and they are both outstanding, and I highly recommend them. But in the thing that he's famous for in the movie JFK, he brings charges against this guy Clay Shaw. And I don't know to what extent people are familiar with it. I think we'll talk about it a little bit. Clay Shaw was a CIA agent that has since come out. Garrison was not mistaken in claiming that Shaw was a CIA agent. And Shaw tried to hire a lawyer to represent Lee Harvey Oswald. And that is what gave his... That's how Garrison got his mind around the name Clay Shaw, started investigating and doing all of this investigation, and ended up bringing charges against Clay Shaw. Now, in the movie JFK, which I think is absolutely fabulous. I also very, very highly recommend that. It came out, and I thought, I spent 10 years looking to find a mistake in it, and I haven't found one yet, I don't think. Anyway, in the movie, Colonel Prouty, and I guess we won't go off into that at the moment, it's just too far afield, but Colonel Prouty was a guy in the Pentagon, and in the movie he's Mr. X, and he's coaching Garrison, the district attorney, on what has transpired and what the real thinking is that's going on, and encouraging him that, you know, you're on the right track, don't let go of this. And Garrison says, well, they've killed all my witnesses, except all my best witnesses. And, you know, they won't give me any of the files that I have asked for. And I don't really have any evidence. And Prouty says, well, you just keep going and you just keep stirring it up and do what you can do. Do what you can do. And so it strikes me there would be, if Garrison was in on the assassination, he would not have tried to hire a lawyer to represent Oswald. That doesn't make any sense at all. To me, the fact, the action that he took to bring him to Garrison's attention, to me, demonstrates that, in fact, he wasn't guilty. But Garrison brought the case, and because he brought the case, he was able to subpoena the Zapruder film. He had to sign in blood that he wouldn't make copies of it, and the first thing he did, of course, was start to make as many copies as he could and distributed them to all the people that he could, and somebody got a copy and made a copy, and eventually one fell into my hands, and it absolutely changed my life.
And okay, so let's stop right there. We're going to hold off with coming into your hands, and we'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, John Hanke. Stick with us. We'll have a short break up to the top of the hour, and then we'll have a lot more to say. Be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, John Hanke. Short segment coming up to the top of the hour. And right after the top of the hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines at 800-313-9443. So if you have a question or a comment for my guest, feel free to call in. Now, we were talking about the fact that you got a copy of the Zapruder film in your hot little hands there, John. So go ahead.
Right. Well, I wanted to make a point right here, which is that this was an accident, right? I mean, it was the most incredible series of far-fetched incidents that brought this copy of the Zapruder film into my hands, and it changed my life. And I can tell you that the video that I have made has changed the life of thousands of people. Let me throw in a plug real quick, bushkilljfk.com. But one of the, I hope, most powerful things about this video is that it uses government documents. It uses statements from Bush's autobiography. It uses statements from the public record. There's no secret witnesses. There's no there's no anonymous anything. It's all right at the most solid kind of evidence that you could hope for. And people can't underestimate the power that this, that there is in talking to the people that they know and spreading the word about this sort of stuff. It's absolutely essential, and I wanted to tell that story. I was watching the History Channel one day, and they were talking about Pope Alexander VI, who was the pope when Columbus discovered America, and they said that he used to have orgies at the Vatican. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And they said he would begin the orgies by having a parade of naked women dance through the streets of Rome. And I thought, geez, he wanted everybody to know about it. And then he would invite all the leading citizens, and not just his closest friends, and not people that he expected to keep quiet. He invited all the leading citizens, in your face, come to the orgy and watch. And at this orgy, they said on the History Channel, he had sex with his daughter, Lucretia Borgia. And I thought, well, now, wait a minute. That's a little bit over the top. I don't know if I can buy that. There were witnesses at the party who wrote about it and complained about it bitterly. I don't know if I'm going to buy it. The Pope signed a papal bull, and he put a seal on it saying that her child was his child. So either the Pope is lying or that's a true story. Now, the point is that people, there weren't telephones in Europe at the time. The vast majority of people couldn't read and write, but people took that story and they passed it all around Europe, and that's the reason that Martin Luther was not burned at the stake. That's the reason that Henry VIII was able to stand up. That's the reason that there's democracy in Europe today. It's the reason that the Reformation and the Renaissance and the Enlightenment happened. It is the reason that all of those things happened, because before, when the Pope had absolute rule of Europe, if you were caught with any written material, if you had a copy of the Bible, I'm not making this up, I'm a history teacher, it's absolutely the most basic stuff, they would burn you at the stake. They didn't want people learning how to read and write, much less reading anything, including the Bible. And so all of those things are, all of the things that we have today in terms of enlightenment and education and political power and free will are due to the fact that just common, ordinary citizens of Europe talked to each other about this sort of stuff. So this is, you know, absolutely the most important kind of thing that you could take up. I was expecting, and there it is. And we can take questions when we come back.
Okay. Well, listen, you know, we've got to go to a break up at the top of the hour. And again, we're going to open the phone lines, 800-313-9443. So feel free to call in with any questions or comments that you may have. Fascinating. I mean, you know, I could ask you 1,000 questions. I don't want to. I'd rather take the questions from the callers. But orgies in the streets, naked women, look but don't touch. I mean, we'll be back in 2 minutes this time. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stick with us.
It's true.